Oh no, you might have sent it a text via your phone at some point when you get in. It might have been sent a text by someone else. It might the car itself might have been sent to pick you up. So some of those coordinates or details would need to be provided to the vehicle, and it would then take off and you can sit there and relax.
Okay, explain this more, please.
So the tension that sits for most people in the driving position is that they have hands on their wheel and a belief that they have some form of control over their own personal safety. If you take the steering wheel off them, then there will be, for some, a very nervous time until they get quite confident and comfortable with the quality and safety of that driving experience when they've basically given up control.
So are self-drive cars just about taking away the steering wheel, or do you also take away the accelerator and the brake?
Self-drive cars will do the lot. So in how they're being structured at the moment, and there's one famous company that's been testing for quite a significant amount of time on some of the US roads, the sensing equipment that's available to it will be able to understand how fast the vehicle in front is going and some of the other vehicles around that vehicle are travelling and cars behind you, and adjust the speed and direction of the vehicle accordingly. And so what that means from a driving experience is you have given over any sense of monitoring the distance that the vehicle is going to go, monitoring the speed at which it will go, over to a computer system and software system.
What happens if the software system or the computer system breaks down and it looks like you're about to be involved in a car accident? Can you intervene?
Yes, you can always intervene in these sorts of things, but of course you'd probably need to put down your coffee and your newspaper first of all. So the challenge will be for some is that they get very comfortable with it and the software goes awry. They need to be able to get used to reacting fairly quickly. But there's a whole series of redundancy being built into these systems. In other words, a whole series of safety mechanisms for a rapid slowdown, not a sudden braking, a rapid avoidance ability, the ability to change lanes, the ability to alert the driver if something ahead. And remember, if you've got multiple cars on the road all sending signals to each other, you gain a level of intelligence that the single driver doesn't now have beyond their own senses of the environment around them.
So you see this as a positive thing, the self-drive cars, because all of these self-drive cars, which essentially are run via a computer, they are going to be able to recognise each other, sense each other.
So the more vehicles you have with this sensing technology, the safer the system becomes. The challenge, again, coming back to the idea of challenge, is the social acceptance that we have of not having control of our own car is going to be the biggest hurdle. The technology itself will prove itself time and time again. It will be the social ability for us to give up that sort of control that's going to be the challenge, even though, as a species, we've proven incredibly poor at safety inside cars, and that's around the world.
Do you think that self-drive cars could actually reduce the amount of car accidents?
Substantially so, yes, because their alert ability is cars and hundreds of metres, even kilometres ahead, as opposed to, for some drivers, at the end of their bonnet.
If you want to get from A to B and you don't want to think about driving the vehicle, you want to read a paper or your e-reader and have a cup of coffee, catch public transport.
I'm all for public transport, but let's bring it back for the listeners to understand just how simple this process is, because the model already exists, and for hundreds of thousands of people, it's being used every year, and that's called planes. So for those people who've ever been interstate or flown from one city to another or over the water somewhere to a different country, the process is basically monitored by a human being, but the computer does all the work. So what's the difference between that or doing it for a car? It's the exact same setup.
Are you telling me that this is your captain speaking, that the captain just sits there and does nothing?
I'm a frequent flyer, so I need to be very careful here. By and large, the computer system onside the planes does nearly all of the work. It's the job of the human to identify when some factors beyond the computer's standard operating might be starting to merge and take control of that. But by and large, the planes fly themselves.
I didn't know
that. Yeah, and imagine
that.
If you've just Imagine if you've just flown somewhere across the world thinking you're all safe in the hands of some competent human being. And yet it was the software system.
So the self-drive technology or the self-fly technology that exists in aeroplanes, that just needs to be converted to cars. And there is, who's the company who's actually working on that at the moment?
Google.
Google?
Google among, yeah, Google among many others. Google are one of the strongest proponents of self-drive technology.
Because it's all based on computers. Of course, now it all becomes very clear.
It's actually based on data transfer. It's about data movement, and that's what Google do. They aren't about computers, they're about data movement. And so this is just a natural extension for them.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Marcus.
No worries, Vicky. Cheers.